sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome. Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're going to talk real estate today, of all things. I want you to get your dialer handy. I'd like to give away a record number of free gift certificates for lunch at Casa Perico. So the number is 840-1000. Ask me a question or ask my guest a question. And my guest today, you have the pleasure of listening to Alan Pruitt, who is the co-owner of Hayes Electric.
Hello, hello.
So, Alan, before anyone starts calling, what season is it?
This typical season for this time of year is generators, remodel.
Remodel.
Remodel is the big one.
Yes, remodel is the season. And I go out and talk to a lot of people about what they should remodel in order.
Always kitchen first, isn't it?
Usually. usually the kitchen first, bathroom second.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just popcorn ceiling.
Yeah.
Taking that down. And you don't need a permit in any municipality that I'm aware of to take down popcorn ceiling.
No, and do the world a favor, make it go away.
Yes. Those are so nasty usually. Because they just catch every little speck of dust.
Yeah.
And they're really not that hard to take down. It's a messy job.
Now, my favorite ones are the glittery ones.
Which have lost their glimmer because of the dust that's collected
on them,
right? I'm
sure
they were
super fancy back in the day, but
it was extra money. Yeah. I remember that when Daddy put up the popcorn ceiling, and it was, do we get the glitter or do we not? Because it cost extra to get the glitter.
Right.
So, and I can't believe it because Daddy was pretty tight, but we got the glitter.
Well, if you got glitter
in the living room.
Yeah. If you've got glitter, then you need to make sure you have bright red or bright green carpet, solid color.
To reflect?
Yeah, to go with it anyway.
Okay, seasonal. Yeah, how funny. Well, back then we had brighter colored carpets than we do now.
When I was a young buck, I remember a house that we lived in, Elk City, way out there. But every room had a different color. And so my bedroom was all blue. Solid blue carpet. My brother's room, solid green carpet. My parents' room, solid red carpet. That was just the thing, you know, and that was a pretty new house in 75.
Right. Well, as a matter of fact, in 74, we put in carpet like that in a house.
Yeah.
One room was green, one was red, one was blue. We only had three rooms. It was two bedrooms and a living room.
Yeah, and it wasn't one of today's colors. I mean, it was like crayon red.
Yes.
Crayon blue, green.
It was beautiful. I don't know that Miller's Floor Store has all those colors.
Yeah, I don't think anybody has.
They've got several shades of grayish.
Mm-hmm.
And, which is what people want nowadays. Actually, they want more hardwood floors than they want carpet, that's for sure.
Right.
So, well, you know, I remodeled my house.
I do.
You were involved in that.
I was. And I got to see the final product.
You did, didn't
yeah,
you?
I did.
Yeah, I know. We had a party.
Looks really good.
And everyone came back to my master bathroom to see it.
Yeah.
We had 56 people crowded.
There was a lot of comments on your island, though.
Yes.
A lot of the people, they were like, that is the biggest island I've ever seen. You know, and it's not like it's a huge space, but the island fills it up nicely, you know, and it's very usable.
Well, I will tell you, it did come in really handy for wrapping Christmas packages.
I bet it did.
Laying out clothes that need to lie flat to dry. I mean, you can lay four different things on there and have plenty of room to still use your kitchen.
Well, it made a very good buffet as well.
Yeah, it did. It did. So we had fun with our remodel. We had to have electrical done. Mm-hmm. And when you remodel, you have to, electrical's one of those things you have to bring up to code.
You do. And you also have to keep in mind that when you make a decision to, even if you're just going to remodel cosmetic, you know, and then maybe upgrade your lights or something, there may be some concessions that have to be made.
Right, right. Well,
everybody believes, I think, that electricians have this bag of magic. And sometimes we can make things happen, you know, without a hitch. And then sometimes there may need to be some sheetrock notched or something. And that's an extra cost that you may have not figured in.
Well, you introduced me to a wafer light.
Wafer light.
And I want to tell all of you guys about that. They look like canned lights. My kitchen, you could land an airplane in there.
Or get a tan.
Yes, or get a tan. It is. But we have different layers of light to where we've just got, you know, the pretty fixtures that hang.
Sure. And dimmers go a long way. Yeah. A lot of people are afraid to get too much light. And for me, being an electrician, I don't know that you can have too much light. You can have the wrong light.
Right.
But I don't think you can have too much light. And if it's too bright for you at any given time, the dimmer switch will put it right where you want it. Just guaranteed.
Well, and the different colors of bulbs, I want to kind of touch on that and ask you where to find the 4,000K bulbs, because you put 4,000 in my house, the perfect color of bulb, because it basically has no color.
Yeah, very usable light too.
But you go to Home Depot, they don't have 4,000, they don't stock 4,000K.
Well, in just a bulb.
In what now?
In just a bulb. I mean, to be honest, LED is the absence of a bulb.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but they make LED bulbs to retrofit into older fixtures that, you know, that take regular bulbs. That you do kind of run into a problem finding them.
Well, they have 2,700.
Right.
3,000 and 5,000.
Right. And in my experience, I try to stay away from the 5,000.
Well, it looks blue.
Yeah, it can. And it doesn't necessarily in every fixture, but you really are taking your chances. It can be a very blue or shadowy, not super usable light. So 4,000 seems to be the magic number. Supply houses, typically you would be able to find.
Maybe that light bulb store up on Britton Road.
Maybe. You know, I don't buy from those. But
I'll have to call them. Well, yeah. I mean, you guys had them on your truck and you brought plenty and put them in all of my fixtures. And now every fixture in my house, except one, I've got to get some more bulbs from you. Every fixture has the same color
and
same type of bulb. It makes more difference than people realize on showing a house.
Yeah, it does. And I will tell you something else. That 4,000K bulb, depending on where it is, may not necessarily give off the exact same color as one does in a different spot. Just like anything else, like in your kitchen, if you have darker countertops, it's going to not be as bright there because the countertop is taking away some of that. And it really does almost change the color. I have actually done houses where we did under cabinet lighting.
Right.
And then like toe kick lighting, and the floors were bright, but the countertops were dark. We used exactly the same stuff on both, and I wound up having to change them, one set of them, because the colors didn't look the same.
Well, I can understand that.
Right. I wound up using a 3,000 at the floor because the floor was bright. to match the 4,000 over the dark countertop.
Well, because you don't want the floor to be brighter than your countertops.
It doesn't look right.
Right.
And so you really have to pay attention to that.
Huh. Well, if you want to know what a wafer light is, if you want to know how the codes have changed, you need to stay tuned, because we've got the man himself in the house, Alan Pruitt, who is the co-owner of Hayes Electric. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to be right back with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company, leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. And we're here with Alan Pruitt from Hayes Electric. Alan, wafer lights. Let's talk about what those are and how easy they are for an instant upgrade for folks.
Yeah, they are super simple. It's basically a can light without having to use the can light. You're basically just taking something out of the mix. It's super thin. Now, you can still get it in the 6-inch diameter like a can light, or a 4-inch diameter like a can light. But they're super thin. And the reason I mentioned the thickness of it is because when you were dealing with can lights, you had to make sure you were in between ceiling joists. With the wafer light, it is actually the thickness of sheetrock. And so if you need to get one where there is a joist, it will fit. It will fit underneath the joist. And so you really have a better accuracy there as far as your spacing, you know.
Because canned lights, if you know, like I've got two chandelier fixtures mm-hmm. in my kitchen. Well, two above the island, right. Another one above the sink, right?
Right.
Well, if we had not had the right kind of lights, we wouldn't have been able to space those out the way we would have had to go, kind of like hanging a picture on the wall and you got to, or a big heavy mirror, you got to find a stud, right? Well, on canned lights, you had to avoid those.
Right.
But
right. With wafer wafers, lights, you don't have to avoid them.
Yeah. And they look just like canned lights.
They really do.
And my kitchen has an upstairs above it.
Right. That makes a huge difference.
Canned lights were really not a consideration because of the space between in the heat buildup of canned lights. So 17 years ago when we built the house, we didn't want to deal with the canned lights triggering off because of overheating and the fire potential.
Yeah. Well, I really don't worry about fire. There's a lot of that talk out there.
Fire departments for that, right?
Right. Well, no. There's a lot of that talk out there, but that's the reason that the cans shut off is they have a thermal cutout in them, and once the heat gets to a certain level inside the canister, then it shuts it off till it cools down. So there really isn't a risk of fire, but having said that, the wafer lights are definitely a better choice for certain situations, especially there's a lot of houses out there with vaulted ceilings.
And
there are a lot of those vaulted ceilings where, you know, you really are at the roof line up there, and the space between your sheetrock and the roof is very limited, and you may not have 7.5 inches of depth there for a can light to fit.
Well, and when you do, the insulation's gone.
Yeah.
So you have to dig out the insulation in order.
Wafer light.
Yeah.
Perfect example of something that would work well in those spots.
The depth doesn't matter. Very little electricity.
Yeah.
Because they're LEDs. How about the outside of houses, you know, the under eave lighting that folks have? Can you transform those with the wafer lights or at least an LED bulb or something like that?
Either or.
Really?
Yep. Either or.
So you could come to my house and take the cans out and put wafer lights in.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah.
It depends, but I'm 99%.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, put it on your schedule. I want it done. And the exterior lighting for real estate is a big deal.
Yeah.
Because it just is a classiness and a safety feature in your home.
That it can light up. It's a good deterrent. If a house is well lit, you're a lot less likely to have somebody come by and try to do something sketchy.
Well, or less likely to miss a step.
Right.
On your way to or from a doorway or something like that.
Your front.
My front
steps, yeah.
I have to tell everybody, now there's two steps out there because they kind of blend into each other.
They do.
And
I giggled when you said that to me, but then I looked and they do blend.
They blend real well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's no reason for someone to fall. I need a little rope light across there. You could probably do that for me, couldn't you?
Sure, we can work something out.
Okay. Because I've said that every time someone walks out my door. Now be careful. You don't see the step. It blends in. So, and then the one that you think is going to be a step isn't. So,
right.
So, okay. What are the things that most often have to be brought to code when you do a simple remodel? Maybe you're just putting new countertops in, new sink, backsplash.
When you're talking about kitchens and bathrooms,
right?
The most common thing is the plugs that are in there. They got to be GFIs or GFI protected.
So the whole kitchen?
Yes.
Or just near the water?
No, it's actually the whole kitchen.
Oh, okay. Used to it was like within 6 feet of the water or something like that. But usually they're on a circuit where they all
within 6 feet of water, that's what's going around. But really what it is the whole kitchen. Where the within 6 feet of water where that really kicks in is like bathrooms. And it has more to do with your switches. If your switches are within 6 feet of water, then they need to be GFI protected switches.
Huh.
Meaning they if the GFI turns off, the lights go out.
Oh. Well, and that happens a lot in houses.
It does.
But that's a protection.
It is. It is a protection. Now, do I think there's any way to have 1 foot in the tub and flip a switch and take a chance on getting a shock? No, not really. But that rule's in place for protection.
Now, you know, we talked about outside lighting.
Mm-hmm.
How about underwater lighting?
It has to be GFI protected.
Yeah. Okay.
So pools, spas, things like that, actually the whole system, motors and everything, are all GFI protected.
Okay, and you just test that by sticking your toe in the water and touching a switch at the same time.
If you don't get a tingle, you're good.
Okay, there you go. Okay, so what's the newest thing in electrical work? Like you install something new. Is that your generator?
Yeah, I don't know how, you know, I don't know that that's necessarily the newest thing. But, yeah, generators are, you know, big this time of year also because wintertime. Wintertime in Oklahoma, lots of wind, lots of cold, and people do not want to have to deal with a dark, cold house in Oklahoma in the middle of winter.
Oh, I know.
For good reason.
Right.
So, yes, generators, they are big sellers during this time of year.
Okay. Well, we need to check in with Dean Riddell before we go any further.
NMLS number 196-895.
Good morning, Dean Riddell, SWBC Mortgage.
Good morning, Becky. How are you?
I'm doing great today. So,
beautiful New Year week morning, isn't it?
It certainly is. It really is. And we're talking remodel today. More electrifying information right after this break. Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins that you are listening to. And it is time for... Alan Pruitt, get off the table. No table dancing here. Okay, it is time for our word of the day. Brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing to handle your entire insurance claim, do a small repair on your roof, or install new construction and a commercial roof for you. Robbins Roofing, for roofing at its very best, trust R-O-B-B-I-N-S. And their number is 728-3700, 728-3700. Our word of the day today is rewire. You know, you hear that tossed around a lot, rewire. Mm-hmm. It does have kind of a simple definition. And it's just to provide, whether it's a vehicle, a building, an appliance, with new or your home, mm-hmm. with new electrical wiring, rewire. Mm-hmm.
Let me start with it. If I had a nickel for every time somebody had to tell me to get off their table.
Oh.
You know.
Oh, but, there you go. I know, right?
Yeah. There are a lot. I get a lot of estimate sheets written up that, you know, I go out on estimates and everybody believes they have the worst wiring in the world in their house. And it generally has to do with, well, our builder was sketchy, or this house is, you know, 30 years old. Well, you know, in electrical years, a 30-year-old house, pretty young.
We've had the same type of wiring mm-hmm. since the 60s.
Yeah. So when I have deeper conversations about this with homeowners, it's back when they have houses with two-wire systems, you know, ungrounded systems. Right. And what they don't realize is what goes along with rewiring a house. You know, you can't just rewire what's there. You have to bring the house completely up to code. And so chances are huge that we're going to have to add plugs where there aren't plugs already. And among other things. So there's that. And the other thing is yes, you may have the $10,000 or $12,000, whatever it takes to get the house rewired, but the damage that is done on top of that, sheetrock that needs to be repaired or, you know, and painted and all of that. Well, I mean, those are costs that are going to be on top of that, because there will be some of that. So what I generally talk about with people is, let's put the rewiring of the house on the back burner. Let's look at what's important. And what's important is where you have your TVs, you know, stereo systems, computers, things like that. Let's concentrate on getting those grounded. Let's save you some money. Let's ground the ones that are super important. You know, to get them an extra level of protection. And that seems to work a lot better for most people, because grounding every plug in the house, look, that's, you're not using every single plug in the house.
Well, you want to ground your expensive appliances.
Exactly. Well, to be honest, the like your oven and your dryer and things, those are grounded. They have a ground wire going to them.
So the 220
plugs. Yeah, the 220s, they have ground wires on them. So the main things that you really need to focus on are where you're going to have computers, TVs, things like that.
Well, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
On inspection reports, we sometimes will see that there is a thing in the electrical box that has a little switch on it, kind of like a... not USB, but GFI, GFCI.
Oh, trip. Got little buttons on them?
In the electrical box.
Uh-huh. Those are one of two things. They're either GFCI breakers, which
right.
we had before GFCI plugs, or they are AFCI breakers, which would be in newer homes. And the AFCIs are arc fault circuit interrupters. Meaning any time they detect an arc on that line in any one of the places, it'll trip the breaker.
Okay.
And so, yeah, if you see those, I got to throw this out there because I run into this a lot. And I really, really hate charging customers for going out and just resetting a breaker. Now, I know sometimes that has to happen, but if I can educate them and save them a buck, I'll do it. Do not push the button when you're trying to reset the breaker. That's what trips the breaker. That's a test button to trip it. So leave that button alone and just make sure that you push the breaker as far to the off position as you can and then back into the on position.
You probably should leave it in the off position for a couple or 3 seconds.
Most of the time, by the time I got out there, it's been off for quite a while.
Okay.
But, yes, breakers typically trip due to an overload is the most common thing, especially in an older home. And so they need to be off for a little bit to cool down before they will reset.
Okay. So it's rare that you have to rewire a whole house, right?
Right.
And if you do, it would be like knob and tube.
Knob and tube is those. Not a bad idea to consider rewiring those. Insurance companies don't like them, and so you know if you're stepping off into one of those houses and thinking about purchasing one, that is something that you might want to have your pocketbook ready for.
You know, something that I think folks don't pay much attention to is when the vents. The soffit vents, mm-hmm. vents, ventilation for your attic space, mm-hmm. when those wires, the covers are compromised and it allows squirrels and other rodents up into the attic,
mm-hmm.
that can be,
bad.
I won't buy an investment property like that.
I have gone into an attic when somebody called to have a problem and saw one of the little furry guys still sitting there smoldering.
Oh.
So they do. Typically, they just chew the outer sheathing off, and they're really pretty good at it. I mean, they're pretty good at chewing the outside of the Romex off and then starting to nibble on the sheathing around the wire itself. And they're really pretty
good. You wonder why
good.
They chew on that. I guess they just have to chew on something.
I don't know why they're picking that to nest with, but they do, and they do it a lot.
Yeah. So, and remember that mice and rats and squirrels.
Yeah.
Raccoons.
Yeah. I've got lots of stories about squirrels and raccoons.
Yeah, in the attic.
In the attic.
We sold a house one time, and the people were so disgusted. They didn't. It was on their inspection report that there was feces in the attic,
mm-hmm.
and then. But they didn't crawl up there and look at it. They just kind of passed that over.
Yeah.
And then they were very disgusted when they got up there and realized that they had a family of raccoons.
Yeah.
And these were not small little pellets in the attic.
No. No, raccoons, they make it look like they're Great Danes up there.
Yeah.
And it honestly, that is very common in some neighborhoods. That is very common. I have been in the middle of that a lot.
Yeah. So rodents in your attic, any kind of animal in your attic is not a good thing.
Not a good thing.
And if you have snake skins in your attic,
yeah.
where they've shed them, that means that they've been feeding on the mice, right?
That's a catch-22, I think.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, we're talking to Alan Pruitt. From Hayes Electric about upgrading, and when do you know you need to replace your electrical box, your service to it? And if you kind of wonder about that, or your meter, and maybe you've got a cracked meter, we're going to talk about that when we come back on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Real Estate on the Move. You are listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate, and we are here with Alan Pruitt. And Alan, you are one of the owners of Hayes Electric.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us what you want to bring up before we leave today.
Well, Let's talk about when you should know that you need to think about replacing your service on your home.
Okay.
the most obvious ones are they're in quite a bit older homes. When you still have 60 amp meter base on your home, and you can tell if you go out there.
You're talking about you look at the box or you look at a meter?
At the meter.
Okay.
If your meter is still just a little round box that the meter itself is plugged into, it's not square, rectangular, something like that, that's a good sign that you still only have a 60-amp meter base.
60-amp doesn't run a lot of appliances, does it?
It does not. The required minimum now is 100 amps.
Okay.
Okay. And the 60 amps.
That kind of changed when we got electric dryers, didn't it?
Air conditioning more so than anything.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. There are a lot of homes out there where air conditioning systems were put in and the electrical was not upgraded to accommodate it. And what you get is when your air conditioner kicks on, you get dimming lights and things like that. And it's just a very heavy draw on the power that you have coming to the house. And if you're experiencing that, it's a very good sign that
you need to replace your service.
Yeah.
To replace service, now I had to replace service at a townhouse that I owned. Mm-hmm. And the reason for replacing that was because this was a three-bedroom townhouse where it had an upstairs mm-hmm. with three bedrooms and two bathrooms upstairs. And it was always too hot up there.
Yeah.
So I wanted to put in an air conditioning system upstairs so my tenants would not be uncomfortable.
Right.
Well, it turned out to be a very expensive proposition because I had to increase my service the unit because it wasn't enough to run two air conditionings.
Yeah, and that's not uncommon. There are a lot of times people want to add things to their home or they want to do a small addition to increase the size of their home. Maybe they can add a master suite on or something like that. Do something like that. It's almost a guarantee that you're going to have to increase your service size so that you're capable of adding the circuitry needed, to get what you need.
Okay. Do you know, when we're talking about remodeling, I want to remind everybody, I've not seen this advertised, but I did get some tickets delivered to my office yesterday for a new a remodeling show at the Cox Convention Center this next weekend. So if you want a ticket for that, or a couple of tickets, all you have to do is give me a call, 722-3232. Call me during the week, or you can make your call in right now at 840-1000. Boy, Nancy, you were quick on the draw. Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry to be so late calling. I was trying to get up my nerve.
Oh.
I have a breaker box. My house was built in like 1939. I have a breaker box in the kitchen that had the fuses, and then we put in central heat and air some years ago, and when we did that, we had to add more electricity, so they put in another box outside the back of the house.
So they just added a box outside?
Yes, and more wiring with Romax wiring up there? All the old wiring was in conduit.
Right.
Okay, so my central heat and air went out. And I was in the hospital. When I came home, my neighbor said, you've got to have heat in the house. So we went and got two of those small room or, little heaters, space heaters. And I was unloading my stuff in the bedroom. She plugged in both of those little heaters, one on each wall of my living room. But, of course, that was on one fuse. So they were both 1500. It blew the fuse.
Right.
So we replaced the fuse. It came on again. We unplugged one, of course.
Sure.
And then we turned on replaced the fuse, turned on one of them, and it ran for about, 8 hours or so, and then it went out again. And so I came in here and checked, and it had blown the fuse again, apparently. So I had one more fuse, so I put it in there, and nothing happened. So she came down. She said, well, she said, let me try. So she tried to do it, and it came on. But then as soon as she started to close the door on the breaker box, the light flickered. And so we were scared that it was going to set the house on fire. So she just, took out the fuse and it left it out. So now I don't have any electricity in about a third of my house. So what I was wondering is, when you were talking about codes is what brought this to my mind. Is it possible to just fix that one fuse?
Sure.
Or do you have to rip out all the electricity?
No, we can fix what's there.
Oh, you can.
Okay. Yeah, we can fix
on the old wiring.
Yes.
Okay. And do you have any idea about what that might cost?
Well, what I can do for you is give you a free estimate. Out, look at it, kind of figure out what needs to be done, and it won't cost you anything for me to come out there and do that.
Okay.
Well, that's a generous offer.
Yes, it is.
Nancy, here's the number that you're going to call.
Okay.
You have a pencil handy?
Yeah, I do.
It is 789-2065.
2065.
Yep, and a wonderful woman named Mary will answer the phone.
Mary will answer. I'm asking for Alan. Correct?
Well, you don't have to ask
schedule.
For me.
Yeah.
Mary handles my scheduling, and she will get you set up. And probably make you giggle in the process. She's a wonderful, wonderful woman.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you taking my call so late in France.
Well, Nancy, thank you for calling in. Yeah. Do you want to go to the remodeling show next weekend?
I don't think I'm going to be able to.
Okay.
Teacher died, and I'm not feeling well. So
okay.
I don't
well,
think I'm going to be up for it. But
feel better
I
soon. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much, both of you.
You're welcome.
Well, good morning. Anne, are up. It's your turn.
Thank you. I want to know about the knob and tube. What was that? I didn't catch that you all were talking about when you were talking about GFCI.
Right. Well, the knob and tube, to be honest, it's best if it's not there. If it is there... there are just precautions that need to be taken to make sure that it's, kept up.
And we've only got a minute left.
Yeah.
So, Ann, give your information to Mike. So if you want if you want tickets. But the knob and tube is just
very old wiring. And it just kind of runs through the house all willy-nilly. But if you want to talk to me specifically about it, you can call the office at 789-2065 and chat with Mary there, and she will get you in touch with me.
Well, and thank you for your call in, Ann, and Alan, thank you. Hayes Electric,
welcome.
I've used them for over 40 years, and I appreciate the expertise they bring to the table, and they're so willing to help you. They'll talk you through everything or come out and look at it and give you an estimate. Thanks for tuning in. If you want tickets to the remodel show next week, give my office a call, 722-3232. I think I've got over a dozen of them, so I'm happy to share. So see you next week on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK.